Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. This work would not be possible without the support of our sponsor, OnPay, so please support them so we can continue to share these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Josh Sweeney, and he is with Founderscale. Welcome, Josh.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Before we get too far into things, tell us about Founderscale. How are you serving folks?
Sure. So at Founderscale, we help B2B founders increase sales.
That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, we try to keep it really straightforward. We try to keep it straightforward. It's that elevator pitch of we help founders increase B2B sales. How do we do it? We have two different offerings where the first one is we amplify what outreach the sales reps are already doing. So we'll work with founders or founders who have a sales team, and we go and we amplify the quantity and volume of the outreach they're doing to drive opportunities back to those founders or those sales reps. The other way that we do it is called our Attend platform, where we actually have sales engagement platforms like webinars and interview podcasts, very similar to this, that we help them with. And what we do is we drive people to them so that they can get more interviews, which are prospects, and turn into leads and opportunities for them.
And then what was kind of the genesis of the idea?
So for many years, I had a CRM consulting firm, and through growing that up through a few million dollars in revenue and then exiting, I had lots of hard-won and expensive lessons around building a B2B sales organization and making B2B sales repeatable, and also trying to transition as being the primary salesperson for my organization to having some freedom on my own, where I didn't have to show up and the B2B sales would still come in. And so going through those challenges, once I sold that organization, I had to look at what I wanted to do next. And I thought that given all that experience with Founderscale, I could help other founder-led B2B businesses solve that problem.
Now, when you're working with a new venture like this, what is the most challenging part?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of challenges. Some of it is just maybe some of the past experiences of founders. So something may have worked in a previous business that they're trying to fit into their new one. Some of it is overcoming maybe knowledge gaps from a demand generation perspective. In the B2B space, we've worked with a lot of founders, especially in the services space, where they're experts in their field, but they also now need to become experts at sales and running sales teams and running an organization. And that could be a new founder, that's a million in revenue or less. That could be a founder that's a few million in revenue that's maybe stagnated for the past few years and wants to grow. So the challenge is helping them overcome some of those knowledge gaps and think a little bit differently.
So now in this venture, are you using the same tactics that you would recommend your founders use?
We are, and that's really one of the more unique items about us. We run into lots of organizations that they actually close and get their own deals differently than what they sell to clients. And that's really unique to us in that we do the exact same thing. So when we go through all the metrics for the benefits of running a webinar to generate B2B sales and other sales engagement platforms, and we go through these sales outreach and amplification processes, those are exactly the same things we're doing for ourselves. So everything that we do for ourselves, we can go back to clients with, and as it evolves, it gets better for everyone.
So now let's just take one of those tactics, like say webinars. What are some of the mistakes that you see people who are trying to do webinars make? What are some mistakes people make?
Well, the hard part about a webinar is, one, that they're actually so easy to do that a lot of people will just, you know, they'll try to do a webinar, they'll spin it up, and then people won't show up and they wonder why. And we have a checklist of hundreds of steps that we go through around promoting the webinar, the marketing emails, the sales emails on top of it to get people to show up and really put butts in seats, all the way through the automated reminders up till the hour of the webinar. And then you have the backend delivery on using that content in multiple different ways. So it's one of those things where it's easy to do one and then say, ah, that didn't work for me, because there's a lot that goes into actually getting people to show up and not only RSVP, but show up for the webinar. So we've really made a repeatable process around that.
Now, when you're working with a new client, and maybe like they have that bias that you described earlier, what are some kind of ways you educate them and maybe manage their expectations? Because I would imagine some of them think like, well, if I'm outsourcing this part of my business, I expect, you know, this kind of result.
Yeah, well, the good thing is we show what those results are. So because we do so many of these, we actually know exactly how many people were emailed, how many sales outreach we did from sales, from a salesperson's perspective, how we marketed it, what the RSVP are, what the RSVPs and the show up rates are. So we're able to really show them those numbers. And the misconception there, I guess, would just be, you know, is it done in a process oriented way that gets the result that they're looking for?
Now, when you're talking about the ROI, do you kind of land on the ROI of the actual dollar amount, or is the ROI kind of on the number of attendees? How do you kind of work around that part of the offering?
Yeah, so given my CRM and sales background, I want to know all about the dollar amount ROI. Now, it's different for everybody, just because we work with clients that have enterprise deals that take 6 months to close or a year to close. They could be $200,000, and other small clients that could do $20,000 worth of work. So with that, we're also a HubSpot partner. So we get a lot of the tracking metrics when we work in either HubSpot or their marketing automation and CRM platform. And we want to know how well it did. So we pull all of those down, all the engagement numbers, and then we do go back to them requesting sales numbers. So we just did one for a client the other day, and we know that, you know, they had 5 net new leads come in because of that were engaged, and they actually had 2 opportunities that had gone dark on them that re-engaged. So for some of that, we just have to go back to them, because it depends on their level of discipline and whether they enter deals or opportunities in their CRM that we can track back.
Now, is the service offering do it for you, do it with you, do it yourself? Is there different kind of tiers for different folks?
No, so it's all white glove service. We take care of every single step for you except the presentation. So we give you some best practices on the presentation, but our clients are the experts in their field. So we ask that they put together the presentation and the deck, but most of them are really great at communicating anyway. So we'll guide them on the feel that we want, right? We like a very educational tone to the webinar, so that when we invite people, they feel like they're not being pitched, but they're walking away with value, and that helps them build the relationship with the prospect. Everything else we do, we handle end to end. And the only thing the client needs to do is read it and approve, you know, content and messaging and, you know, target lists and some other things that we take care of.
Now, in your career, how have you seen kind of sales and marketing evolve, and now maybe even have a blurring of the lines between the two?
So we focus mainly on the B2B space. So I can't talk about B2C, but from sales and marketing, we like the blended approach. We follow ABM, account-based marketing, which is where we're really being data-driven and detailed around who we're trying to get in front of. So in the case of our service, instead of just blasting out the webinar to everybody and then having people show up that may or may not be good leads and counting them, we are only really counting and even targeting with our messaging the people that are on their sweet spot from their prospect list. So when we build those lists, we're going after those. So I think of sales and marketing really have to be run together and very cohesively when you're running an account-based marketing type method.
So now, when you're working in this B2B field, are there certain industries or sectors that this works better for?
Yeah, I think there's just some natural fit. So obviously technology, we have a lot of customers in the technology, information security, IT space. We have others in construction and like finance. But what we have to do is we have to look at what the sales engagement platform is. So, for example, a podcast would be can be a little more broad because of this interview style and other people that might be listening to podcasts, whereas webinar might be a little harder to get results on in, say, the construction industry, because the people in those organizations aren't necessarily always sitting at a desk or more likely to be on a webinar. But they could be in a car very often, going back and forth between, you know, construction sites or talking to clients, and more likely to listen to a podcast. So we look at the industry and really pick the sales engagement platform that works best for them based on our past results.
So now, what's your backstory? Were you always in marketing or technology?
Yeah, so I actually went to college for telecommunications management, went into information security, and then went into CRM from there. So it's all been, an IT information technology type path for me. And then once I found sales, I was able to merge those two. And that's really where I like to operate is, you know, how do you bring the repeatability and the scalability of technology and the knowledge of sales and put them together for great outcomes?
So what's the most rewarding part of the job for you?
The results for entrepreneurs. When I get a call from another entrepreneur that says, hey, we got a deal in because of something that FounderScale delivered, that's probably the most rewarding piece, at least with our clients. And then growing our team and team members is another very rewarding piece as we bring new members of our team on, seeing their growth. And how they learn in our organization is also, very rewarding.
Can you share a success story of maybe one of the clients you work with that you were able to take them to the next level? You don't have to name the name of the company, but just, you know, a little bit about their background.
Yeah, sure. So we're working with a client right now, and they've done things a very similar way for a few years, and then they decided they wanted to take it to the next level. So they were putting a lot of effort in sales, in marketing, in outreach for some big goals that they have in the next few years and big growth goals. And the company's been around a very long time. So, you know, there's just another layer of thinking and some knowledge that has to happen to take them to that level. So we launched their first webinar actually, I think a month ago, and we got 67 attendees. You normally get about a 50% attendance rate roughly. So they got a good attendance. And then that was actually the one I mentioned earlier where they had four different people that engaged because of that. And they had two opportunities that had gone dark and those re-engaged. And that was very surprising for them. So it was very rewarding to hear that those bigger opportunities re-engaged. And we think that's the first step on taking them to the next level because we already have two more webinars planned for the organization. And we've historically shown that we can deliver those results across multiple webinars across time. So super excited about how that's going to work out and how that works out for them.
Now, can you share any advice for a B2B company out there that might be struggling with their sales and marketing?
Yes. So I wasn't a salesperson originally. I was a technologist. I was an engineer, very engineering minded in a lot of ways. And what I really learned from my organization for myself was in order to excel in any of these areas in my company, I had to go become an expert. So I went and got all of the best books in sales and marketing and started listening to those. I'm a huge Audible fan. I go through probably about 30 books a year via Audible. So I listen in my car and on runs and working out and things like that. So I would say, you know, be open-minded and really go start learning to be the expert because, you know, the founders of these organizations and the leaders of these organizations are the ones that can move the needle the most, right? They affect the most people. So go grab those books, you know, found find the great ones, the pivotal ones. I know predictable revenue was a pivotal one for me. Jeb Blunt with Sales Gravy has great information. You know, there's just some really good standout content out there.
And then if somebody wants to get a hold of you, what's the pain they're having to be a good fit for a client for you?
So the pain they're having is they're a B2B founder-led organization, and they have roughly 0 to 5 full-time salespeople, and they're struggling to increase sales. Maybe they've gone through some marketing companies, they found some other things that didn't work for them, and they want a new perspective on some items that really work and are built for B2B. Those types of people are the best for us.
Now, what is the range of this for this service? Is this in the thousands? Is this tens of thousands? Is it pay per performance? How do you work with your clients?
Yeah, so the great thing is the pricing is built for founder-led companies. So our packages start at a mere $1,500 a month per rep. And so we're amplifying what the rep's doing. And then we have other annual packages that continue up from there.
And is there a pay-per-performance element to it, or it's strictly pay for the service?
It is pay per service. So we provide the results and the numbers to show them what we've done. We provide plenty of referrals for that. We haven't done a pay per performance yet as something that's of interest, but that's a pretty challenging, option.
And if somebody wanted to learn more, have a more substantive conversation with you or somebody on your team, what's the website?
So the website is founderscale.com.
Good stuff. Well, Josh, thank you so much for sharing your story today. You're doing important work.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, we couldn't be doing this work without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.